trying to lose. Our entire organization is about winning, and we will win some bumps in the road, perhaps, but we will never accept losing. Look, the Warriors aren't tanking. They just are dealing with the circumstances that have been handed to them.
Yep. Yep, they are. And that's all they have to deal with, and that's all they have to do. But it's the big ones are tough enough, but it's these little ones like with Draymond, because when you go to the game, you want to see the stars. I get it. Draymond out there without Steph and Klay is still Draymond, but you know what? If he can't go, it just is another one of those kicks that you're tired of taking kicks. And I know it's early in the season. You're thinking, gosh, you had all this greatness for 7 years. You're getting a few little bit of adversity. Why don't you just deal with it? No. That's not the case. What the case is that you get big guys going down. You had one before the season started. You had your big star during the season. Now you got your next star. He's getting dinged up along the way. You get worn down as a player, as a fan. This is just a tough time, and it's unfortunate, and you hate having to deal with it.
Let's get to Coach in Vallejo. Coach at 888-957-9570. Hey, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, you know, I hate to say it, but for Steph Curry, it's sort of a blessing in disguise, because he was not going to make the All-Star team with this team. You know, his legacy was going to be damaged with
wow.
this team. He had no supporting cast, and that definitely contributed to his injury. He felt that he had to do everything out there. Steph's shooting percentage, as you saw, he started off very bad this year. He would have to force a lot of shots. He would have to try to do more. So this team was going to, you know, really damage his legacy. And so I would like to see Steph come back with a better supporting cast, and so he could be the Steph that we know.
There you go. That's an interesting way to look at it.
I think that's a fair point. I think Stephen Curry.
You think if he stayed this year, his legacy might have been damaged a little? Not stayed, but was healthy and played, because it wasn't going to be MVP caliber?
It wouldn't in my mind, but I do think for a lot of people it would have changed. I'll put it at you this way, Coz, and you tell me if this is, I think Steph, the three championships, the two MVPs, the unanimous MVP, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer right now. If he didn't play another game.
No question
okay?
about it. No question.
So it's silly to say, well, a guy's legacy, I mean, if his legacy is tarnished at all, I mean, that's silliness. But I do think there are those out there that would make that case. And we do have people jumping in here on the phone lines. We'll get to more calls
sure.
coming up. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. It's Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game. I do think there are those out there that would say, if Stephen Curry played 70 games and the Warriors won 35 games, it didn't make the playoffs. Well, Russell Westbrook and a bunch of guys made the playoffs after Kevin Durant left.
Yep.
James Harden and a bunch of guys
yep.
led the Rockets to a 41-41 season a couple of years back in an 8 seed. Stephen Curry can't lead a bunch of guys to a 500 year and an 8 seed. I think those folks that have been critical of Stephen Curry would have been right there waiting to have that take.
I think that you're right, and I do think that there are still some out there who don't put Steph in the category of superstardom among superstars, because he wasn't the carrying factor in a finals, because he wasn't the overwhelmingly deciding figure in a long, successful playoff run. Is that... He doesn't have the MVP hardware from a finals. He's got regular season MVP hardware. And I think that there are some who look at it and say, you know, he can do this against these guys. But once you start to nail it down against the greats of the game, he wasn't the same transformational player. I'm not saying that's fair. I'm saying there are some people who think that.
Yeah, and again, to me it comes back to more, well, you could be this player when you were playing with other great players. You know,
yep.
You could be...
You're right.
But when you're not, how can you elevate a team that's just average or below average to, let's say, competitive playoff level? And there are folks out there that are I think we're waiting for maybe that to happen this season, and now it's not going to happen because he isn't going to be playing.
And it
started out looking like, look, this team was going to struggle.
You know, it was starting that way, but if I can turn our last caller's kind of ideology around a little bit, it was a chance for Steph to be the guy who dragged a bunch of guys across the finish line right around 500 and made it to a playoff. Would that have helped the legacy a little bit more, saying, hey, look at this little guy who's likable and seems to be like every man. He doesn't need everyone to be superstars around him to do something successful. That's something we'll never know because he's not going to play it out for the next few months. We are going to see a team that's going to be the try-hard Warriors. That's what it's going to be. They're going to be out there every night trying hard to make it a game, and tonight's as good as any night to go out and get themselves a victory. They're taking on a Charlotte team that I think might, it's in their category. Charlotte's in their category of teams right now. So let's see what the Warriors can do with it.
John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore, Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy is going to join us coming up at 11:30. Mark Spears will join us coming up at 12:30. And Spears, he's got a little note about Stephen Curry and his Olympic future.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that because the Olympics coming in 2020.
Next
Tokyo.
Summer.
Again, not an easy thing to do. He is not going to have a playoff run to worry about. So some guys, if LeBron chooses to play in the Olympic Games, LeBron seemingly will have a long run. Kawhi Leonard seemingly will have a long run. Will those guys choose to play in the Olympic Games? I wonder what, for Steph Curry, the decision will be. Coming off an injury, by the way.
Chilton Autobody text line 408. Why is it too much to ask the Warriors to field a competitive team, John Dickinson?
Yeah, well, JD.
I think they can field a championship
team. That was me.
Team.
That was mine. That was my text.
Next year.
Okay.
I think it's going to be hard for this team to be competitive this year.
All right.
That's where
reality.
I am. You know what? That's where I am. And you know what? You may hit me from both sides on this and say, well, JD, you're way too hard on this year and you're way too Pollyanna, pie in the sky on next year. But that's how I feel. This year, look, the wins aren't going to be there this year.
You know where I am on that? I think you're spot on this year. I think you're a little Pollyanna next year. I don't think that it's going to be that easy to turn things around. I don't think it's going to be that easy just to add guys. I'm not sure what the value of D'Angelo Russell is. And quite frankly, I don't know about this talent evaluation group. Jerry West isn't in the room anymore. And Jerry West might not have been the heaviest lifter, but he has a strong opinion, and he's been pretty right. It's you don't just get lucky being in the right place at the right time with successful teams. Somewhere along the way, you have an opinion. I want to see what these guys can do. I want to see what they can do about molding and transforming a roster. This year, we know, is going to be, call it the mulligan year. Call it the, what did Kerr tell Kawakami? What did he want to call it? The sabbatical year?
Sabbatical year, yeah.
So this is your sabbatical year. So in your sabbatical, what are you doing to prepare yourself to make the immense leap? I'm not sure that leap is that easy in this league.
See, and I think it can be because you're going to have three championship core players in their prime.
I don't know if they're in their prime anymore.
And you're going to have five new players. Like, you go from bad to good by changing the roster.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Warriors are going to have a means to change the roster. A top 10 draft pick, a trade exception, $16, $17 million range, a mid-level exception. And again, I'm of the belief it could be two players for D'Angelo Russell that are not star players, but I think a starting player and a bench player, a starting player at a position that's not point guard or shooting guard or power forward, and then another bench player, rotation player. I think you could get two rotation players for that contract, and you're back in business with the development of Evans, Poole, Pascal, and Smilagic. That right there is a hypothetical 13-man roster, and you'd still have vet minimums to maybe add an Andre Iguodala back, another player of that ilk.
Andre Iguodala is a feel good story. That's great, but he ain't going to help you win games and lose.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about a 14th man.
Right, exactly.
So it's, you know, I could take it or leave it, but if you take it, I think it would help.
I'm going to be realistic about this. You have a first round pick. It could be a top 10 first round pick. You are not going to expect a first round pick to be a transformational player in his first year in the NBA. It just doesn't happen.
But can he be a good player?
A contributor?
Yeah.
Maybe, but that's not going to make you transformational. He's not going to, even Kawhi's first year he didn't set the league on fire. Kyrie's first year, and although that was a different team because Cleveland stunk at the time, but I'm just not a believer that a first-round pick comes in and changes you. And the example I use all the time because of mold is the Houston Rockets stunk. They were one of the two worst teams with a record in the league. They had a coin flip with Indiana, I believe is how the story went, in 80 or 81, right around that general range. They won the coin flip, took Ralph Sampson, the 7'4" center who was going to transform them. Sampson went out to become the rookie of the year that year. And what did it get the Houston Rockets? The first-round pick the next year where they got Hakeem Olajuwon. Great players who are young don't change your franchise that quickly. With that said, they get a nice piece to add to the three core guys that you said. Those core guys, one of them, a key piece, Klay Thompson, is coming back from a wicked injury to his knee. Draymond's got heavy mileage. Steph's got heavy mileage. The $17 million exception, I'm going to play devil's advocate. What kind of player you think you get for that? An aging Pau Gasol? That probably makes a little bit of sense. But I don't see where you use that trade exception to get Trent. Yeah, that's the type of player. I'm not saying him specific. But tell me what you think you can get with the $17 million.
You can get a player that another team wants to unload a salary, but yet still can be productive in a scenario where he's playing with better players.
And to me, that's an aging Pau Gasol-ish. I'm not saying that's a specific guy, but 36-year-old Pau, not 28-year-old Pau.
It's a means to get a player that this current roster doesn't have.
That's true.
And it's
absolutely
a means
is.
To get a player that, honestly, the championship-level rosters of the past didn't have a means to get.
Mid-level exception guy, is that going to be your Sean Livingston?
Might be.
Ish. And I'm not saying it's Sean Livingston, but the guy who plays the Sean Livingston role. I just think there are a lot of ifs, and I understand your theories, and I understand you want to look at it on the positive side. I'm just trying to poke holes in it. I just think it's going to be tough to be that team that makes the huge jump, even if you've got those pieces. But to me, one of those pieces is still going to have a question mark next to it, and that's Klay Thompson. The knee thing is just a big thing to come back from.
I think that's why it's important that Klay Thompson does come back this year. And I'm for Klay coming back this year. I'm for Steph coming back
this totally
year.
Agree. Totally on board with that. I would almost need to see Klay Thompson come back.
You can't play scared. And look, if Klay Thompson played 10 games, to me, that's a positive
thing.
That's a win to just come back, knock a little bit of the rust off, get back to used to game speed. And what it will amount to is Klay Thompson playing 10 games in the span of 16 months.
Yep.
If Stephen Curry comes back and plays, let's say, the final 30 games of this year, that's 30 games that Stephen Curry will play, plus the three that he played at the beginning of the year, I guess four that he played at the beginning of the year before getting hurt. He'll play 34 games in, let's say, 16 months.
Yep.
And he might play a little bit in the Olympics to get himself warmed up for the season. It will still be a sabbatical year. Draymond Green is banged up as all heck right now. His time to get his rest is coming at some point. It may be beginning tonight for a couple of days. At some point, and Steve Kerr said, hey, they're not going to run Draymond Green into the ground. Let's hear from Steve Kerr, because this was, I think, the most telling. I quoted it, but we'll hear from him just how they're going to use Draymond. This is before he comes up with the ligament thing in his finger that he detailed earlier.
Not more than that. You know, I definitely don't want to drive him up to the 40-minute mark. That's too much. We got a back-to-back, play again tomorrow. So we'll just sort of take it, game by game and see how he's doing. But, we were right there late in the third, and so we wanted to make a push with him out there, and so we played him, a few extra minutes tonight than what we normally would, but I thought he played well.
I should have just quoted it, because one, I played it twice, and two, that wasn't the cut that I thought it was.
That's fine.
Because,
it was a post-game cut,
it was a post-game cut, and I should have known that. That's my mistake. But yeah, there was a quote from earlier in the week where he said, hey, we're not going to run his minutes into the ground.
There you go.
And we're not going to run Draymond into the ground.
And you know what? That makes sense. Can I flip that this whole script around a little bit? And I know we've got Tim coming up at the bottom of the hour. Part of this is building the Warriors back to relevance. Part of this is figuring out who's dropping back. Which team in the West is going to start to fall backwards?
They could take the spot of whoever takes their spot this year. I mean, that and look, I think it's way too early to know for a fact, but it's like teams are going to fall out. I mean, that And I think there will be a team in June that we can't identify now that we're going to go, well, they're not a playoff team. I mean, it's the Warriors now. I mean, the Warriors went from championship contender to here we are November 2nd, and they're not going to be a playoff team. And we already know that. You know, Oklahoma City coming into the year, we knew, hey, the Lakers are taking Oklahoma City spot. Well, guess what? Oklahoma City's 1-4, and their only win was against the Warriors, who are in a worse way than Oklahoma City is right now. So, you know, if Dallas takes the Warriors spot, if Sacramento gets their act together and takes the Warriors spot, it wouldn't be crazy to think, well, the Warriors could come back loaded with Curry and Clay and Draymond and these other pieces and at least take somebody's spot. That to me isn't all that crazy. Or they take a San Antonio spot next year with their guys a year older. Or maybe Portland has a devastating injury or something like that. They take their spot. There's going to be spots that the Warriors can take.
Okay. Because I see a lot of good teams that still have some legs about them.
You want to sneak in a call?
I do. I absolutely do. Go for it.
Gary in Marin is up here on 95.7 The Game before we get to Tim Roy. Hey, Gary.
Hey, now. So I am I'm maybe one of the most pessimistic people by nature, and it sucks. But I'm bringing a lot of positivity in regards to these most recent Steph and Draymond injuries. They are relatively minor by nature, but they allow both of them to take significant time of rest, to heal their bodies, to just take a lot of time off from all of the seasons that they've been playing. It also allows them to just play every young player they have and to just pad the stats of the players they want to trade for assets. I can't see this going any better way because they had no real shot to go anywhere without KD and Clay, so go for the rebuild.
But when you say rebuild, do you mean tear down of the studs rebuild, or do you mean you take a half step back to take two jumps forward? And if so, who are you trading to upgrade? That's my question. What on this roster gives you something to move in order to upgrade in the near future?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Here's what I got. I think they have some young players who they can trade for at least, to combine with some salaries they're trying to get rid of. For some reason, I'm blanking. What's the dude they signed out of Brooklyn? I'm
D'Angelo Russell, the guy they got for KD, yes.
Yeah. So, D. Russell, I personally don't see him fitting long term. I see them flipping him come the February trade deadline. I see them being able to use even though I love him to death, but look to trade Draymond. Go significant. We know we have a chance to get the Greek Freak. He's talked about his affinity of Steph, his favorite player. I think you use this year to be really aggressive and to play with the salaries you have and to really put yourself in a position to have a all NBA player in Clay next year, a healthy Steph at the end of the second half of this year, and who knows what could be done, but be aggressive.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call. I don't think anything's going to be off the table.
Totally agree.
For this Warriors team. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Tim Roy will join us and more of your phone calls as well. It's Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
888-957-9570. Tim Roy momentarily. I want to sneak in Dave in San Jose before we get to the voice of the Warriors. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Welcome back another season. A couple of quick points. All these fans that are saying tank the season. Really? 77 more games of this? You got to be kidding me. And those fans that are saying tank the season have obviously not been to a game yet and paid $18 for an IPA. So they got to give us better than what they're showing so far. And that leads to my point about Steve Kerr. Coase, what you said earlier about Steph Curry as far as the narrative of what he could have shown this year to silence some people, I think that same narrative applies to Steve Kerr. He he has shown he can make a good team, inherited a good team and made him a great team. And then he took a great team and made him one of the all-time best teams. But now he needs to show that he can coach this group up. You know, look at the team Doc Rivers took to the playoffs with Orlando his first year in the NBA. Look what Billy Donovan did the year after Durant left. I mean, heck, even look what New Jersey did last year. You got to be able to do better than this. And you have to be more competitive more times than you're not. And, you know, you got to do better than giving up 130 points a game. So show me you can coach. Those are my thoughts.
That's a good one.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call. I think the results are going to make it tough for the people that are looking for what Dave is talking about there to be satisfied. I just don't like the results aren't going to be there to where it's going to look good enough to where you're going to say, okay, great job.
You're right. It's hard. You know why? Because it's a bottom line business. It's wins or losses. If you are competitive, if you end up going 20-62 and yet your margin of loss, you're a minus 2.8. You're in every game. Like right now, the New Orleans Pelicans are 1-4, but their differential is minus 2.8. They seem to be.
Yeah. The only game they weren't competitive was the game against the Warriors.
There you go. That's the one and only. For the Golden State Warriors, they're giving up 126.4. Their point differential is minus 12.8, so it's almost 13 points a game they're getting beat by. You know what? You're not going to open any eyes. You'd hope that if you go 20-62 and you're a minus 2.8, people will recognize it. I'm not sure you do, though. I'd like for everyone to say, boy, they are playing hard. Boy, Steve is coaching better than maybe he's ever coached before.
Let's bring in the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. He joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. And, you know, we'll bring you into the conversation that we were having here. I mean, I think, you know, defensively is where it's been a little bit eye-popping in the early going, even when the Warriors had Steph. And, you know, guys have been in and out of the lineup. You know, Looney's barely played, which I think affects the defense. But the bottom line for me, this team could be playing very hard. But I go back to a Bruce Bochy quote, to use a little bit of a baseball analogy. When you don't hit, you look flat. And you know, he would say that over and over and over when his teams would struggle on offense. And, you know, you'd get beat 3-1 and you'd have four hits and you know, 16 guys in a row would get retired and you know, he'd get asked after a ball game, you know, boy, what is it with your guys' energy? What's going on? He would say, if you don't hit, you look flat. And I think the basketball, you know, analogy is, you know, defensively, if you're, you know, giving up a ton of points, you look like you don't care or you aren't trying when that isn't necessarily the case. So I don't know if the Warriors are going to have enough results with the way things are currently constituted to where if you are just looking at the box score and not watching them play every night, you're going to be able to really know. Well, you know, they're going to be playing hard, but they just might not be playing well is what I'm saying, Tim.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, when you have nine new players and you have, you know, guys that are young players, you're going to have nights where it's going to look, you know, pretty, you know, it's going to be a work in progress. And so I think what you're looking at right now, especially with the fact you don't have the Splash Brothers, you know, Kevon Looney's out. You know, you've lost Kevin Durant from last year and all their veteran leadership with Iguodala and Livingston. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of firepower to lose. So it's a totally different deal. Now, the trick is now to take this year and to try to get your team as competitive as possible. And I think that's going to be the trick. I think they've already gone and tried to simplify a lot of stuff that they had from last year, because the new players, it's not, you know, you can tell they don't know personnel. They're not familiar with the league yet. And so they're really struggling with that part of the equation. And so this is going to be a year. I heard that last call about, you know, coaching up. Well, you know, you can coach to a point, but this is a talent league. You know, there were many nights the last 5 years where the Warriors didn't play great, but they still won the game. And because they had more talent than everybody else. So this is going to be a different year. I think what you have to do is look, as you said, you know, if you're watching them night in, night out, Let's see where they are at 20 games. Let's see where they are at 40 games and see if these young players are a little bit better and progressing in a way to where you say, okay, this is going to be a piece we're going to have for years.
Tim, but we are creatures of hope, and when we realize what the Warriors have roster-wise and injury-wise and what they're truly dealing with, there still are some nights where we have hope. Tonight's one of those nights. Is
correct.
This a night? You know, last night you're playing San Antonio, one of the better teams in the West. Tonight, Charlotte comes in. They're an NBA team. They're a solid NBA team. But isn't tonight a night where you kind of go, all right, let's see how they measure up against a like opponent and see if they've learned any valuable lessons early in the year?
Yeah, I think so, because, again, Charlotte's a very young team as well. They've got, and I'm excited to see them play tonight because I want to see this kid, P.J. Washington, out of Kentucky. He's off to a great start. Devontae Graham seems to be finding his footing in the association. I want to see how he's playing. And, yeah, tonight's a night where I think the Warriors, you know, have an opportunity to get a win, and that would be great to give them a little confidence heading into what is going to be a very difficult stretch over the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, tonight's a night where you hope they come out and play really competitive because they have a chance. And, you know, let's face it, right now, you know, there is no pressure on this team, I think, whatsoever. You know, you have, you know, certainly there's expectations because of what's happened over the last 5 years, but I think the reality is that they're, you know, people aren't going to expect the Warriors to win on certain nights, so they can play kind of free and easy.
And to that point, Tim, I mean, the Warriors, this is, what, game number six tonight? And I think I saw your tweet. They've had five different starting lineups, and it sounds like it could be maybe a sixth if you heard Draymond Green speak after the ball game last night dealing with this finger issue. Now, not ruled out officially or anything like that. We'll find out later. But that makes it all the more challenging, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, especially if Draymond doesn't play because, again, he's the guy out there that's trying to hold these young guys together, trying to teach them how to play a little bit and to you know, use the wisdom that he has from his NBA experience. So, and he's also the team's best defender, and he's also one of their better playmakers. So, yeah, if Draymond doesn't play tonight, that makes it even more difficult. But, you know, I think for, you know, guys like Marquese Chris, Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson, they have a chance now to put a real stamp on their NBA career here with the minutes they're going to get. So I think that's an opportunity for them to step forward and to play well and to give the team a chance to win. I think the young guys, you know, with guys like Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal, I think it's going to be up and down just because they're so young. But for some of these veterans who are coming in, I think they have an opportunity to really, you know, put a stamp on their NBA career.
Tim Roy joining us, 95.7 The Game tonight, the Warriors and the Charlotte Hornets. You'll hear it right here. They'll tip the thing off at 5:30. And what time are you on, JD? 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
So JD, it's all JD radio today. So JD's on at 4, and then again after the ball game and with the home games. Are you Whitey or Kolsky? You're Whitey.
It's Whitey and Jim Barnett.
Yes, and Jim Barnett.
At 4 o'clock.
All right.
And, yeah, and that means Tim will be with Tom on the call tonight.
So it'll be a lot of fun. All night of Warriors right here. Tim, you know,
I think JD's on all the time, isn't he?
He is. He actually, you know, his week, he did a morning show, then he flew to Arizona, then he comes back and he's got Warriors, then he's got a Warrior morning show, then he's got a Warrior game again. He's nonstop. So you're absolutely right. He just has a cot back here, Tim. That's what our guy JD does. You've been around these guys for the highest of highs, and now you get to see Steve Kerr in a completely different role. And everyone understands that many times young players follow the lead of their head coach. What is the demeanor or the attitude or the feeling of Steve and his group of coaches? How have they kept their attitude to make sure that a lot of these new guys aren't getting down early in this year? Have you noticed them either trying to prop them up? Are they being relaxed and easy? Are they tensed and stressed? How are things around the team?
You know, I think right now what the coaches have realized is that this is a teaching year. They're going to be teaching all year long. And I think what you see, if you get to the arena early, get to Chase Center early, is that you'll see the guys warm up, and what happens after they warm up? They go sit down, and there's a coach with a laptop. So they're, even when, you know, they're done getting their physical work in, the mental work starts. Here's what we're looking at. Here's what you're looking at tonight. Here's what we want you guys to work on in this game. And so there's nothing but teaching going on. Last night, Steve was our guest on the coach's show, and I asked him, because I think one of his biggest strengths with the team in the last 5 years is he had played on championship teams, you know, San Antonio and Chicago, and so he had that experience. He knew about the ups and downs of a long season when you're expected to win, and he could impart that wisdom. He knew, you know, what the tone of the team was going to be. So I asked him, have you been in this situation before? And he said, yes. There was 1 year where Mark Price went down with an ACL when he was in Cleveland, and there was a struggle after that because, you know, that Mark Price was, you know, an all-star and one of the best players in the league at the time. And so I think in this case, Steve has something he can go back to and, you know, think about, you know, that year and what worked well in that year, what didn't work well in that year. So I think he's going to be able to rely upon that experience and go forward with this team to try to keep, you know, an upbeat tempo to it, because the one thing you don't want in a year like this with the injuries that they've had is that players get beat down. That's what you don't want. What you want them is to be excited about coming to the gym every day and to work on being a better player each and every day.
Well, and that really means you need to get a few wins here and there to keep that motivation coming. And I think that's
absolutely
where a game like tonight, you know, we alluded to this a little bit earlier, you know, winning a game like tonight goes a long way toward, you know, buying some time to continue that positive mojo while you're learning and teaching and also facing some tougher opponents.
Absolutely. If you look at the game against New Orleans, you know, what was the one takeaway that you could, you know, look at right away? It was effort. You know, they got out there and got after the Pelicans and got them on their heels early, and they hit some shots early, and that always helps. But their effort was there. They were into that game. They were focused on that game, and that allowed them to go ahead and get a road win that maybe some people thought they shouldn't have got. But to me, it was the effort in that game, and that's what they have to bring. They have to bring the effort every night. And if they could do that, then they're gonna get some wins. And tonight could be a nice night for them to give them some confidence, you know, heading into Portland, and then a road trip that goes to Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and Houston. So, yeah, a win tonight, I think, helps buoy their spirits a little bit, especially with, you know, still the hangover, if you will, of the injury to Stephen Curry.
Now, Tim, I'm going to run my hypothetical by you.
Uh-oh,
get ready for this, Tim, okay?
We had Ramona Shelburne on earlier. I asked her, I'm going to ask everybody today. I said at the beginning of the show that I believe the Warriors can be a championship contender next season. And the layout for that is Curry, Thompson, Draymond come back. They're all healthy. You've got Kevon Looney. It's a developmental year for Jacob Evans, Jordan Poole, Eric Paschal, Alan Smilagic, who we haven't seen yet at all. And then I'm projecting here a top 10 pick, a trade exception, a mid-level exception, and then D'Angelo Russell as a wild card, either as a returning player in maybe a different role, or a player that has value enough around the league to get, you know, at worst, a couple of rotation role players in return. You add all of that up, I've built this 13-man imaginary roster into believing the Warriors can be a championship contender next season. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think the Warriors will get right. You know, let's face it, the big three, if you will, for Golden State, they're all still going to be in their early 30s next year. Okay, and with the way that the science of the training and the fitness and, you know, the attention to sleep and rest and occasional load management, I think, you know, what you're looking at is a team that can play maybe a little bit deeper into a championship run than teams of the past. And so, I think anytime you run out Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green for the next couple of years, and you've got those three healthy and ready to go, you are a championship contender.
All right.
And I think that, again, the silver lining of what's going on right now is you're going to accelerate the growth and process of your young players.
I'm going to give you a little pushback on this, Tim.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Pushback.
I'm going to give you a little
we're
pushback.
Fighting for position here.
Exactly. We are. Tim and I, we're about the same size, by the way. So we'll be fighting, like, scrapping like dogs.
I got a little more heft than you do, I think.
You know what? You'd be surprised. I've added a few, my buddy. Anyway, here's the deal. So I understand a year older, but the way they treat their bodies. But you know what I know? Coming back from the type of injury Clay's coming back from,
he's not going to instantly just become the old Clay. It's going to take a while, not just physically, but mentally, to come over that hurdle. Steph is going to start to get more attention like he started to get more attention this year, unless they provide a little bit of help, if Clay's not back 100%. So when you talk about the big three coming back and being healthy, health is one thing. But I'm really concerned about Clay and the mental portion and whether or not it would be ultimately beneficial to see him play even a handful of games this year to try to make the transition to a healthier next year for Clay Thompson.
Well, yeah, I think, when he comes back is when he comes back. And if he gets a chance to come back this year, then by all means, if he's able to play, get him out there and let him get a run. I mean, it'll be very hard to keep him off the floor if he's medically cleared to play. Clay's got the mentality, I think, to bounce back from this. I don't think it's going to be as big of a mental hurdle for him as you think, just because he's a different cat. You know, he's got a great NBA mentality. You know, it's like we've seen him go through slumps, and he doesn't get down on himself. He still plays the same way no matter what. I think he's going to be a little bit better than your average NBA player coming back from this injury mentally. Physically, of course, everybody's different. That's going to be, we'll see what that looks like. But, again, the science is better. The training is better than what we had 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And so, I still think he's got a chance to come back. But, yeah, both Steph and Clay, when they come back, if they're cleared medically, it's going to be very hard to keep those guys off the floor, because the one common thread between Curry and Thompson and Draymond Green is that they are all very competitive people, and they all love to play the game. And I think it's going to be very hard to keep those guys off the floor.
Tim, as an NBA connoisseur, I got to ask you what you thought of the Suns the other night. I know there was a lot going on with the Curry injury, and the Warriors weren't playing well in that game. We're going to get into maybe some of our surprise teams in the early going. I had watched them leading up to that game. I was like, boy, they're improved from what they've been. Just seeing them in person, what did you think of what they have going on?
Well, it's a couple of things. I think they've got a great coaching staff that's put some structure in under Monty Williams. Willie Green is there as well. So that gives those players, I think, something to rely on. But what's the difference between this Suns team and the ones we've seen in the last 5 years? They've got some veterans out there. They got Aaron Baines. They got Ricky Rubio. They got guys who know how to play. And so, to me, that was missing from the Suns the last few years. They had a number of young, talented players come through, whether it be Marquise Chris, T.J. Warren, Josh Jackson. They had guys who were talented, but they didn't have the veteran leadership, to put on that team to kind of keep those guys, focused and on the prize ahead. And I think that to me is the one thing that they did this year. They've added some veterans. I think they're going to be a good team in the West, because Lord knows we need another good team in the West.
Oh, sure. There aren't enough.
There's not enough talent in the Western Conference. We need, especially inside the Pacific Division, we need another good team in the division. Yeah.
Oh,
so it's, think about this. Think about, and again, there's still 77 games to go, and we know that's going to be a tough run right now. But next year in the Pacific Division, think about that. Clippers, Lakers, Warriors, Suns, Kings.
Yeah.
It's really not a bad talent base of all the five teams.
No, and there's one team among that group that I would want to be the least, and it might be the team 90 miles from here. And isn't it crazy? Because they were almost the Suns. They were a lot like the Suns last year.
Right.
The way that they've started this year, they kind of had that start last year. We're like, boy, these guys are better than people think. I would worry for them if this season, and I don't think it's there yet, although they are 1-5. They did get a win last night against Utah.
It's early. It's really early.
But I would worry about them next year if this year doesn't go well.
I think when we were talking, maybe the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I think we'll have a better real feel as to who's truly good and who's, got off to a tough start but has bounced back. I think we'll have a better appreciation for what the league looks like at the right after Thanksgiving.
It is fun, though, to speculate. I mean, it's fun.
It is.
That's
always fun to speculate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I know it's early, but I got news for you. I never saw Minnesota coming out to a 3-1 start. never in a million years. I didn't see Denver struggling the way they have. I know they're 3-2, but to get pounded by New Orleans and actually to have Sacramento push them around a little bit, I think Denver maybe hasn't taken some opponents seriously.
And Phoenix maybe should have beat them beyond that.
You're absolutely right. And that was without DeAndre Ayton, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So I think there have been some early season surprises, which, Tim, I don't know about you. You know, last year I think the two IT teams to watch, the Brooklyn Nets and the Sacramento Kings. This year, Phoenix is one of those new IT teams to watch. If your team isn't playing on that night. For now. And you just happen to have the league pass. But you're going to pick up on them. Monty Williams hasn't playing well. And maybe Minnesota.
Without DeAndre Ayton, by
the way. Yeah, that's the key.
And Rubio's missed a game or two, too, I think.
And yet they play. They play, come out, and they play, and they compete. And that's, I think, what a lot of people want to see from the Warriors. Even though they're not the superstardom team they've been recently, I think people want to see them compete to a level that the Phoenix Suns are competing at. Play hard. Get yourself in position in the fourth quarter if you're in the game. Hey, you lose a tight game to a good team like San Antonio, that's one thing. But if you get pasted and you don't have a chance, that's when I think people start to get a little unhappy.
Right, and I think this young team is they're learning how to do this right now, especially without the people that they don't, you know, you don't have Clay, Steph, and Looney. You know, you put all three of those guys out there, it's a little different story. But to me, yeah, I think that they're learning how to go about their business. And I think that's the thing you have to keep in mind is that this team will be better suited for the task at hand in 20 games than they are now. And so, yeah, that's the part of it. By the way, the quick point about Denver. You go back and look at the Warriors, you know, and from like 2013 through 2015, they were good. In 14, 15, they were great. But I still, you know, you remember James Harden saying, oh, they ain't that good. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people believed how good they were. And I think Denver now is in a situation where teams now are going, hey, we got to be ready for this one. That's Denver. They're talented. They got Jokic. So I think it's a little different when people are gunning for you and people are ready for you, then say if you're a team on the rise and you still haven't established that reputation, some teams look past you. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how Denver handles that this year. You know, being a team that's marked and a team that nobody's going to look past.
Totally agree.
Great stuff. We'll see you in a couple hours.
All right, man. Let's go. What's good? Let's get back to the gym. Let's go.
Yep, exactly. Another day, another game. There you have it.
Thanks, Tim.
Speaking of the Denver Nuggets, it looks like Jokic might have eaten part of that contract already. Look a little thick.
A little thick.
Looking a little thick.
Yeah.
And they're one of my.
He was looking a little thick last year, too.
He was, but I will say, Utah and Denver, everyone's looking at Lakers, Clippers, Lakers, Clippers, Lakers, Clippers. I was talking to some national media guys yesterday. I was in Sacramento for the Kings game. You know, they're like, give me that Lakers, Lakers, Western Conference final. I said, nope. You're getting Utah, Denver. And you're going to get the winner of that taking on Milwaukee, and it's going to be a Milwaukee-Utah NBA Finals. And I will watch all seven games. Just letting you know, that's what I'm rooting for this year. I don't want none of this Philly-LA stuff. I want straight-up Milwaukee-Utah.
John Dickinson, Jim Cosimore, 3 hours in the books. Final hour straight ahead. We'll be joined by Mark Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated coming up. It's JD and Co's Warriors this week, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, final hour. John Dickinson and Jim Cosimore. Warriors This Week until 1 o'clock. Warriors and the Hornets coming up tonight here at 95.7 The Game, 5:30 tip. Warriors Live with Jim Barnett and Whitey Gleason and yours truly. That comes your way at 4. And then we'll be on after the ball game as well. Whitey and I taking your phone calls following the third game of 4 on this homestand. 4 games and 6 nights for the Dubs and Golden State. Still looking for that first win on the Chase Center.
Tonight's
hardwood.
The night. Tonight's the night, JD. I can feel it. I can sense it. You're at the facility tonight, correct?
Yes.
The home games, you're there.
Yes.
What has been your... because you like to get there early, take a little walk around, you get to a building, like I'm sure Thursday when you're in Arizona, you're taking a walk around the facility, taking a feel, getting a feel for the vibe. What's it like when you're out there? I don't know if you've had time to be outside the building before the game when the fans are starting to arrive and have some fun inside. What are they calling it? What's the area outside? They're calling it Thrive City. Thrive City. Or if on the concourses, are you getting a feel for what it's like? And what is the feel over at Chase Center for a game night?
Been a lot of people having a good time, enjoying themselves, exploring what the building has to offer, really. I mean, a lot of smiles, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people coming in happy.
A lot of people coming in happy and enjoying themselves. And I think it has been, I think it's been pretty loud when the Warriors have made things happen.
Oh, I totally agree.
You know, they just haven't made things happen consistently enough for, I think, everybody's liking.
You'll be at the, tonight, if people want to see you, you will be out there at the Modelo Cantina.
Yeah, we're up at the up on the upper concourse, okay, behind the Modelo Cantina.
Okay, right
with
over
a
there.
Beautiful view overlooking the bay, and
really,
yeah, it's tremendous, and the parkway that's still getting built along,
sure,
Terry Francois
Boulevard.
Boulevard.
Is that what it is? I might have to get over there, take a look at your perch, JD's perch. Can I order a Modelo Negra?
You can.
Because that's my favorite. Of the Modelos, that's my favorite.
Yeah, or Especial.
Okay, you go Especial. You go Especial, I'll go Negra, and because that's what we do. We bring cultures together. We bring beer cultures together.
By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, it should be fun out there. I am looking forward to tonight because tonight's the night. You have to christen the building. You have to get it its first official win. Preseason games don't count. It was nice to see Steph score 40. It was nice to see them play well at times in the preseason, even though they didn't play in as many different teams as I had hoped for. Bottom line is, I want to see them get a win, and tonight's the night. You got to go in with the right attitude, even though the breaks are against the boys. There's no Steph. You know there's no Clay. There may not be any Draymond. I don't know what the latest word is, if we've gotten any tweets from anybody yet. But as of now, go to the game thinking tonight's the night you're going to get to see your team. My daughter went to the game last night hoping to see their Warriors' first win last night. Didn't get a chance to do it.
And for those of you wondering about Draymond Green's status tonight, the Warriors playing last night against San Antonio, so this dropped late. If you're just kind of getting back into the swing of things with this team, here was Draymond Green after the ball game. He came into the press conference with his left hand wrapped, and here's what Draymond Green said about that.
I hurt my finger, a little ligament action, but it is what it is.
And what's up with tomorrow?
I don't know. We'll see. I was pretty sore. I couldn't grip the ball the whole entire probably since the second quarter, which is why I was making a lot of one-hand, right-handed passes and dribbling left with my right hand because I couldn't really grip the ball. So we'll see. You know, hopefully it'll calm down a little bit overnight, but who knows?
What did they say?
I don't know. They just told me that they see some swelling, and you'll get the rest of that answer from Raymond. I don't really know.
God dang, so this season. I'm telling you, this season you don't want to do this as a fan. You're just starting to feel like there's a snake bit feeling to it, though. You know? It's just really tough and really hard because they've played so well, and even, you know, you can read into someone's voice whatever you want to read into someone's voice, but gosh darn it. It's just a shame that things have gone so south so quickly in a physical way, because that changes the way you look at the year the rest of the way. You know, Steph being out for 3 months is going to make things easier. It's almost like Draymond's like, yep, you know, we'll see how I am.
No update to the injury report. That's what I was checking on here.
Okay.
No update to the injury report yet. That game is listed. But only with the Charlotte injuries. The Warriors don't have to report because of the back-to-back until a little bit later.
Gotcha. And, well, keep it tuned, because at 4 o'clock when you're on the air, you guys will have the latest. You guys will know what's going on with him, how long he'll be out, and what the scenarios will be for moving forward. You know what? And you know what? Every night, you know what I would do if I were a Warrior fan? I'd pick a new guy to focus on. I'd pick a new guy to say, you know what? What can this person do? Let's see how they grow as a player. Let's see what the next phase of their game is. And I'm selfish, but I'm going to look at Willie Cauley-Stein because I watched him play for the early part of his NBA career. And I'm selfish because I'm going to pick later on this season. I'm going to pick a guy that I don't think, JD, you're going to put on your list of guys to watch. But I'm going to have Marquese Chriss on my list at some point. Then I'm going to focus on a couple of games and see if he starts to get some minutes and see what he can do. Because you can't tell me a guy who was somewhat thought of positively when he came out of Washington and he's from Elk Grove, California, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. He's from Elk Grove. You can't tell me that by the age of 22, we realize he can't play. Somehow, some way, he started in the wrong spot. Maybe they can find a little something and salvage his game.
Let's get to Chris in Napa. Chris, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Chris.
Hey, man. You know, we saw the Giants just tear it up for, I mean, three World Series, and man, you couldn't get a ticket. And now the Warriors got this new place, there's going to be a lot of people that would never, ever in a thousand years be able to step into that place, and they're going to get a chance to see how cool this place is, and because they're going to get a ticket that's a lot cheaper. And just to be able to take your kid to some place you could never go before is pretty awesome. And you know, it'll build up the groundswell because, I hate to talk about next year because we still got this year. And I hope that a lot of people will get out there, and Steph will probably be out there signing autographs and saying hi, and Clay will too. And I hope that they'll do that to keep the fans interested because those guys are going to be around for a long time. I'm looking forward to going to that building, man. I think it's going to be awesome.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
I think it's a fun point because you're right. There are fun things. It's a new way of watching the Warriors. We got used to what we were doing in Oakland. We got it, but we're building. We're kind of building that new infrastructure of Warrior fandom. We're building the new way to go to the game, the new way to anticipate what you're going to see. It's a brand new facility. Go at it with a fresh new look. You're a kid on Christmas morning. You don't know what you're going to get inside. That, I think, is a good... I like our last caller. I think he's made me feel better about going to the games, getting an experience that's going to be different, and you never know on any given night.
You've listed a couple of players that